is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. That's the truth, Lord. There is none like you. There are many gods that people worship. There are devils and demons and everything else out there. But there is only one true and living God. You are the mighty God. Lord, you made all things. And Lord, by you do all things consist. And we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. You who have made us and not we ourselves. And we stand here tonight, Lord, worshiping you. We want to glorify you, Lord, tonight. We want you to glorify yourself through us, through each one, both the speaker and the hearer. We pray, Lord, that you would burn in our hearts, O God, thy living word. Thy word, Lord, which you said would not return to you void. Father, have your way, O God, in each heart, each life. Lord, whatever anyone is struggling with tonight, Lord, just give authority over that in each heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we come and we present ourselves to you humbly. In this we pray, Father, take control for your glory. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate it. Thank you for your service. Amen. I just love the depth of bench we have at the piano. One can't make it, another one slips in there and just carries right on. We are a blessed congregation. You know, there are congregations, they don't even have one piano player. Think about that, how the Lord has blessed us. And then there's some congregations that have only maybe one technician that could run the soundboard. We've got depth, you know, so the Lord has given us all things. But what's more important, amen, he gives us his spirit. Amen. That's the thing, and that's the thing that we have need of more than anything. And while you're standing there, and grab your Bibles, please. As I'm talking up here, you can look in the book of Habakkuk. Sometimes that takes a little longer to look up. I know it does me. And we're going to read 2 and 3 of the second chapter, second and third verse of Habakkuk. So I just want to say I love you all. I just feel very privileged, honestly, to be numbered with you. And I thank very much your walk in the Lord. And I stand blessed just being associated with you and to know that I stand before the purchased possession of Almighty God. I'm seeing a lot of temples out there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Amen. Hope everyone's feeling all right. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. Now, if you would turn to Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9. Galatians 6, 7 through 9, very common scriptures for us. Amen. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, there's the promise, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen. Don't grow weary, right? Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your word. We pray truly that you break to us the bread of life. And this we ask in the blessed name for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm so thankful too for the song service again. And in Jesus' name, we press on. That fits right in. What I'd like to talk about tonight is holding fast to the promises of God. And why I want to talk about that is because the Word of God is true. Amen? And the reason why you and I are here on this world, Brother Branham says, is because we are getting tried. And we the word is being tried through our lives, if you would. Amen? And God is proving to the rest of the world that his word is true. And he's using us, amen, to bring that point across. And the more that we can yield ourselves to that process, amen, the more glory the Lord brings to himself. And the more that he proves that his word is true. So, that's what I want to talk about tonight. God's word is true, and whatever goes on in our life, he's got a word for us, amen, to apply to whatever need we have in our lives. And it's a battle because we have a good adversary. You know, Satan's a good adversary. And he's tasked to buffet us. You know, he can't do one thing, though. Keep in mind, he cannot do one thing without getting permission first. Brother Branham is very clear, and the Bible is very clear on this point, that there is no temptation given you, but such is common among men, that with the temptation, God will also bring a way of escape, amen, that we won't be tried above that we're able, about that we're able to endure. So if you're going through a trial or a test tonight, it's because the Lord knows you can take it. Isn't that something? There's God wants to bring something out in you, amen, or he wants you to let loose of something that's pestering you, that's hindering you. He wants us to cut free of every hindrance, amen, that we could come clean before the Lord so that his Spirit can just flow through us without any hindrance whatsoever. That's what I need in my life. That's what I want. I want his Spirit to flow through me without any hindrance whatsoever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hebrews 3:6 reminds us, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now we know that we are saved by his grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is his gift to us, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet the word here tells us that we need to hold fast to that confidence. And what is that confidence? That confidence is this, is that God is true to his word. And if you, by faith, you hold on to his word, he won't let that word fail you. And that is the confidence that we can hold fast in, rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, because faithful is he that promised it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now keep in mind, Abraham is what is our faith is patterned after. Now think about that. He was promised a son. He was promised that the son at the age of 75 But it didn't take place until he was already an old man. He was already beyond typical childbearing time. Certainly Sarah, she was 65 years old, which is certainly beyond childbearing years. And the Lord made the promise to them. And even then, at that stage, it would have been impossible, naturally speaking, right? Naturally speaking. So even as it came out of the Lord's mouth, Abraham had every reason in the world to doubt him. First of all, it's never been done before. Secondly, he was old. His wife was old. And that promise didn't happen until 25 years later. Think about that. He was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old when she conceived. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And that's where our faith has got to be. No, don't go by outward, any kind of outward sign. You go by only thus saith the Lord. What does the Lord say? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's just read a little bit of that. That's Romans 4. You can read that. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it was imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up again for our justification. So Abraham, again, was the type. He was the pattern. And the Bible's very clear. He didn't do it just for Abraham's sake. He did it for our sake. He showed that pattern of faith through Abraham that we too can have that same faith that he did, because God is faithful to his word. And God doesn't say when. He said, I will. He doesn't say when. And that's the point. We need whatever promise there is and whatever one that you're holding to, never go to an outside extremity of how things look. Things might even look worse while you're holding on to that promise. It has nothing to do with it. God's word is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says in Ephesians 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Is that true? Amen. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Is this the evil day? I believe it was more evil today than it was when Apostle Paul said this. Amen? And he says, having done all, to stand. Amen? Amen? So what does that mean? When we've know that we've done everything that we know to do, when we've satisfied all the requirements, when we don't have anything in our heart towards anybody, amen? We've applied the promise of God, right? We don't have anything before God. We've confessed our sins, right? Amen. And we just take the promise of God, whatever promise it is that you're trying to apply to your life tonight, Amen. You can hold to it. God will bring it to pass. That's a promise. Amen. First Peter 1:7, again, very common scripture, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Though it be tried with fire. You know, that's what trials are. It's a fiery time. It's a testing time. But it's for the praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll glorify himself in that. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. God is good. Now, I've read this quote to you many times, and I like it. And you're going to say, well, Brother Greg, we've heard that already. We're going to hear it again. Because it's a good quote. Amen. He says, now, the right mental attitude. Do you understand what I mean when I say the right mental attitude? Your right mental attitude towards God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. That should be on a plaque. Sometimes we put up plaques though and we just ignore them, right? They just gather dust. But that is something that is just precious. Any divine promise, your right mental attitude towards God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. Think about that. I wouldn't confess it. See, don't let the devil know that. Always say, I've got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing of the devil. And when you accept him as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Think about that one. What are you testifying to? You know, that's a good one. Believe that you're healed. Take him at your word. Then it's all over on God then and not on you. See, as long as you take God at his word, then the word will produce what it promised to do. Is that right? Now have faith. Believe him with all your heart. That's something. Then it's over on God then. When you take him at your word, and you confess it. I'm going to hit this later on. But confession is also a big part of it. Confession. Amen. You know that even wholeness doctors, when they regard their patient as they come walking through the door, and if they come in with a positive attitude, they say, you know, that person's going to get well. But if they come in with a negative attitude, they say they got their work cut out for them because their attitude has to change. As long as it stays negative, they will not overcome. They can't be helped. That's what a wellness doctor said. And it's one of the litany's things that they try to do, and they try to clean up toxins, they try to get rid of different things. And one of the things that are toxic in your life is wrong thinking. Wrong thinking can set in a toxin in your body that makes it very hard for your body to recover. So even in the science, it proves that what Brother Branham said there, which is a spiritual truth, is also true in science, that your attitude toward it, that the right attitude, the right thinking, positive thoughts, thinking thoughts, actually helps you with your healing. Amen. So we have to keep the right mental attitude toward any promise of God. Here's another one. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. And then there's that negative thinking. With the negative thinking, it's impossible to be healed. Jesus could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what are we going to do then? Have faith. Have faith, even a little bit of faith. Honor God, even with a little bit you have. Honor God with that faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Amen. He's God. Who would he is? What do you want to put to him? He exists. He's mighty. He's the creator. He knows everything about you. He knows every need that you have. He's got an image of you in his mind that he wants you to conform to. He knows all these things about you. He is. God is. And that he, when you come, is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So how much can you or I seek him? To the degree that we can seek him, amen, is how much we can receive from him. Amen. He's a rewarder. He will reward us. There's a promise he will reward us if we diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. I got this story here that blessed me. This again, Brother Branham relates this. Anybody ever hear about the prayer cloth and the club foot? Anybody know that story at all? Yeah, I told it to you. Yeah. Yep. This is really precious. Recently, this is how it starts out. It says, recently, she had sent one of those handkerchiefs to her sister for her little baby that had a club foot. And she told the lady, she says, now you tie the handkerchief on its foot, and the Lord is going to heal it. So she left the handkerchief on about 2 weeks, and it got dirty. So dirty, she says, well, you can wash it and then put it back on. And so she did, and the handkerchief got kind of worn and old. She said, well, there's no difference in the foot. Said, I guess I might as well take it off. She says, oh, don't you do that. Said, if it comes to pieces, you tie it with strings, then tie it back on. She said, because I know it will get well. She'd seen so many things done in the meetings. And the woman did that. So she had just a few strings of that handkerchief tied on the baby's foot. And then one morning she went to get the baby. And the Lord had been there that night, and the baby's foot was straight. I just love that. And she brought the baby to the meeting to show and brought the strings that was left of the handkerchief and had the baby's picture before and after of where it was then and how the baby's foot was clubbed in like that. A little baby about 8 or 10 months old, and there was this little baby's foot just as normal as any other baby. Isn't that wonderful? Now, some instruction from Brother Branham. Now, what if she just throwed the handkerchief away? Well, that's where we miss the blessings. We're afraid to wait on God just a little bit, you see. You've heard that. Only wait. Again, I hear that whisper. Only wait. It won't be very long. Even now, the Father's hand's pleading. Soon, with Jesus, we will sing the victory song. That's right. Just wait on God. Believe it. Confess it. Stay with it. And God will bring it to pass for you. Isn't that wonderful? That encourages me. You know, I just, that's just really, really precious. So hold on to the promises of God. Hold on. You know, and I realize, you know, we kind of talk about things, and we sometimes say, well, you know, divine healing is a minor. And it is. It's a minor. When you talk about the scale of eternity, it's a minor. But if you're really sick, all of a sudden that minor becomes a major. Isn't that right? Sometimes a financial need, you know, that becomes a minor. But when you're getting ready to lose your house, you're getting ready to turn out into the street, then all of a sudden that minor becomes a major. So sometimes there's many things that happen in our life that sometimes that would regard it normally on the scheme of things kind of minor, yet at that point in time it's a major. And everything that we have need of, God in himself, he makes a way to meet that need. If we, by faith, if we can just appropriate that faith into the nature of what God is. He's our healer. He's our provider. Amen. He goes before us. He fights our battles. Amen. He's our Savior. Praise the Lord. He's our all in all. Amen. So sometimes in divine healing, Brother Branham taught us, so he taught us well. I so appreciate his instruction. Where somebody's healed immediately, well, that's a miracle. But if it takes a while, God still heals, but it's still divine healing, though it takes a while. And you remember one time, and of course, Brother Branham related the story, and Brother Billy Paul a little more. Brother Donovan works, they were in camp, and his ear had swollen about 3 times. It was really red and so forth. And Brother Branham glanced over it, and he grabbed his hand, and he says, "Brother Donnie, why didn't you say something?" He says, "Oh, you've been busy, and I didn't want to bother you, and I figured sometime maybe the Lord will show you." And he said, "You know what it is?" He says, "I got an idea." He said, "Mm-hmm, that's what it is." And he says, "Uh-huh." And, you know, he just reached up and just with his hand touched it, and that was it. And 2 days later, not even a scar. It was totally healed, nothing wrong. Now, that was a miracle. Amen? God did a miracle. At the same time, Billy Paul was there, and he was fixing the supper. And his stomach, he was so nervous, and he was all tore up. He's fixing that which he couldn't eat because his stomach, he was just so tore up, you know, and it was steak, you know, it was something that he would have enjoyed normally, but he couldn't eat it. And Brother Branham just went by and he just lifted his hat like that. He just went, and immediately he felt something come over him and that nervousness left and his stomach was perfectly fine and he enjoyed that meal so much. Another miracle, right? So later on in the camp, they're sitting around the fire. Brother Branham takes his boot off, and he reveals his ankle, and it's all swollen and black and everything, and he's just rubbing it. Billy Paul said he had wrecked his ankle, you know, back in October, and here it was February. 5 months later, can you imagine? And he said, and Brother Branham says, "Here, you know, the Lord healed Brother Donovan right away, and he healed Billy Paul. The Lord did that for both of you." He said, "And here I am with my ankle, you know, just trusting him to heal my ankle, showing that the gift isn't for me," right? So Brother Branham has to apply the same faith that you and I would apply. His gift wasn't for him. Amen? But he hung on to the promise of God, and God did heal his ankle, albeit it took a while. And so sometimes it happens in your life and my life, we're struggling with something for a while that doesn't make the word of God and the promise of God of an effect. We hold to the promise regardless. Amen? And that's the point. He will bring it to pass. And the other thing I'd like to bring out here is don't make a predetermination as to how the Lord will heal. And I've you know shared this before, but just I'm going to share it again just to bring the point across that one time Brother West was sitting in the congregation and his daughter Becky was in his lap and she was just a few months old, I don't know exactly how old, but she had a cleft palate. And you can hear in the sermon, Brother Branham calls him out, says where he's from, "You're from Colorado, you've got a daughter there, she's got something with her mouth. Thus saith the Lord, she's healed." And they left the meeting. For some 5 years later, she's still sitting there with the palate. Brother Branham at this point is off the scene. And he's talking to, Brother West is talking to Brother Neville. This is according to Brother West. He told me his testimony personally. And so they were talking about different things. And Brother Neville, just finally, he turns to Brother West. He says, "You know, Brother West, I know you're holding on to the promise of God. And you should, but don't limit how it is that God is going to cause it to be made perfectly well." He said, "Now she's going into kindergarten, and children can be really vicious to somebody who's different than they are. If I were you, I would make arrangements with the surgeon and have that corrected. And it's still God. And so he went ahead and he did that, and he made plans, got a hold of a specialist, and he was, I think, living out in Colorado still. And it was way out on the East Coast. I forget, West Virginia or someplace out there on the East Coast. They swung into Tennessee, and there, as he swung into a hotel at Tennessee and he was getting checked in, a man approached and he said, "You know, is that your daughter right over there?" And he says, "Yes, it is." He says, I couldn't help but notice her. She has a cleft palate. I specialize in cleft palate surgeries. If it's all right with you, and if I can get a operating room and such, would you mind if I took your daughter in and performed the surgery on it?" And he said, "Fine." He did. Was able to get there in that day into an operating room in a hospital that he didn't belong to. Unusual, unusual. He performed the surgery in one, completely done, and checked out the next day and was gone. So he called ahead, Brother West, to the doctors there and says, "Well, you know, there's really no need for me to come out there anymore because Becky is already, the operation is done." And he explained what happened. And he says, "Well, that's, you said you did it with how many operations?" He says, "Just one." He says, "Well, I want you to keep the appointment anyway. We just want to examine her." And so he did, and he brought her out there, and they looked at it, and they looked up and down and all around. He says, "Well, this is amazing. Now, we could do as good a job as this, but it would take us two operations to do it." And here he did it in one. What are the possibilities? Even if that was a natural doctor, which sometimes I think it was an angel, to check in at the same hotel at the same time and be there that Brother West was with Becky being right there, think about that. That was a divine encounter of the greatest magnitude. So again, don't limit how it is that you're going to receive your healing. I'm just using healing as an example tonight. It could be anything, all right? Don't limit how it's going to be. There's this one sister came in the line, and she was praying to receive her healing, and she had this attitude to never go to doctors. And Brother Branham, in the spirit, called that out and said, "If you go to this doctor over there, God will heal you." Isn't that something? And so she did, and she was. So, you know, again, don't limit how the Lord is going to heal you. I'd like to bring up cancer, for instance. Brother Branham says, "Now, let's say you had cancer. Now, if you weren't afraid, it wouldn't be too bad. It's just a big scarecrow, is all that cancer is. Because it's rampant. We hear people dying and so forth. And, of course, they have this horrible habit around here about cutting and poisoning and burning in order to heal it and cost lots of money and so forth and so on. And the truth of the matter is there's so many things out there to deal with cancer that are natural. You know, but just eating the kernels from an apricot pit, it's got amygdalin in it, which targets, the highest source, by the way, is that apricot pit of this particular thing, B17, the cancer cell. And it doesn't hit any other natural cells, just the cancer cell, and it takes it out. And so the people consume these things and have great success with getting rid of cancer in their bodies. And there's other things too, like Essiac tea. People have gotten rid of cancer drinking that. Anybody meet Sister Betty Tom, Sister Leela's mother? Okay, well, I'll raise my hand. She had breast cancer, and she went through the mastectomy and the chemotherapy and and the radiation and all that. And she got really, really, really sick from that whole procedure. And they put it in an arrest. And then after about 3 years or so, it had metastasized to the other breast. And they'd offered her the same procedure to go through. And she says, you know, I can't go through that again. That was just horrible. I couldn't survive that again. And so she found a holistic doctor. And that holistic doctor told her about the comfrey leaf, which is a weed, common weed out in most people's backyards. And she said, I want you to eat salad of this. Of course, she did a lot of other things, too. They took sugar out of the diet. I mean, she totally changed her diet, you know, a lot of the things that are cancer-causing. And she says, eat it. And she says, make tea out of this and drink it until your teeth float. And it totally eradicated the cancer out of her body. You want to know something? Our FDA, Food and Drug, they outlawed the comfrey leaf. How do you outlaw a weed? How do you outlaw that? I mean, that's goofy because it's effective. And because you can do it in your backyard. You can, you know, you can harvest it yourself and you can do this. So it's something that she did that was in the 70s and she died here. That was back in the 70s that this happened. And she died here, I don't know, just a few years back. I don't know. But I mean, so she lived decades, okay? Totally arrested. So the Lord, our great God, has given us so many answers to these ailments that we have. The medical world wants to limit it, but word's getting out there, and it's getting out there. And there is, and some of these little things like this, God has an answer even in this. And he does heal miracle-wise, or he might use some other way. Just don't limit how it is that God is going to answer your prayer. Is that okay? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. So the power of confession, you know, and again, we know the story about that one blind black man who sold newspapers, right? He went and prayed. He went through the prayer line, and Brother Branham says, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. He says, oh, but I still can't see. That's okay. Just go and testify that you're healed and your eyes will be opened, something to that degree. So he went, praise the Lord, I'm healed. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. And so he went all the next day confessing, praise the Lord, I'm healed. And then he came back to Brother Branham, I still can't see. He says, what's that got to do with anything? He says, well, you said I was healed. Well, you told me you believed me. He says, do you believe me? He says, yes, I believe me. Okay, go. So he went and he testified, hear ye, read all about it. Thus saith the Lord, I'm healed. And he went up his way that way until he sat into a barber chair. And in the barber chair, just kind of rib him a little bit. He says, oh, you say you're healed. He says, yes, bless God, I'm healed. And just right there, the Lord opened up his eyes. And he launched out of the chair, just, I can see. So, amen. So, confession. Praise the Lord. We'll touch on that just a little bit more. Praise God. And then there was another time, Brother Branham, and you know the story about the two women, right? And one, she came before Brother Branham's discernment line, and the Lord was discerning, telling different things about her. And as she was stepping away, she says, thus saith the Lord, you are healed. And she had an ulcerated stomach. She couldn't eat was the issue. It all got called out. Brother Branham revealed the whole thing and said, thus saith the Lord, you are healed. So she went on the line, on through. She went home that night, and one of her neighbors who had a lump on the side of her neck, a big fatty tumor just right beneath the chin here, or jawbone, and by the collarbone, a big tumor that somehow stuck out an inch or more, and the Holy Spirit said the same thing to her, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. And so they came in the same car, and so they discussed it a little bit, and they says, well, maybe we'll be all right. She still had her stomach issue. She still had the lump. Okay? So the lady went home. And so she went home and thought, well, maybe I'll eat. And she says, my, did it make her sick. And so then the next day or two or for 3 weeks passed, and she was no better off. And so her husband said, now, honey, I don't mind you giving testimony, but just remember you're no better. You're bringing a reproach upon the cause that you say that of you saying that. Says, you're saying you're healed when you're not. She says, look, dear, that man never knowed me. Now, how did he know me when we live 150 miles of where he never was? And he said, he told me exactly the truth, word for word, and you know that. Then, when I started to leave the platform, he told me, thus saith the Lord, you are healed. Said, if I spend another 50 years testifying of it without result, I'll still say I'm healed. Brother Branham's comment. So, that's it. That's the idea. She had it. That's it. That's the idea. She had it. Amen. So a few days after that, one morning she was standing there washing the dishes, and her husband went to work, and she was washing the dishes, and just like a cool feeling passed over her, and somehow or another she went on, and she never noticed it, maybe a little shiver or something. In a few moments, she got real hungry. So she ate, okay? She could eat. She said, oh, this is wonderful. So she waited a little bit, and then she ate more. Two hours later, she could still eat. No problems, no pain. Wonderful. She rushed down the street to her neighbor, and her neighbor was there, shaking out his sheet. She was trying to find that lump, and the lump also had gone. And now this is what Brother Branham said happened. This is what he said happened. And they come about 500 miles to testify. What was it? The angel of the Lord passed through the neighborhood that morning. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes God can't answer just at that moment. How many knows that Daniel prayed and it was 21 days before? Remember that, sure. But when God says anything, God stays with his word. You stay with it too. But if you leave the word, you leave God. You leave your blessing and everything there. Stay and obey God's word. What God says, God does. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I send it. Amen. Now you think about the power of confession. And look at this. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Healing and salvation they go hand in hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 103:2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Aren't you glad for that? Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen? Yes, Lord. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. The Lord is mindful. You are the apple of his eye. He loves you. You are precious in his sight. Woe unto anyone who lays their hand on you because you are precious in his sight. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter tells us, 2:24, who with his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness, whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. Promise. By his stripes we are healed. Praise God. So whatever promise, whatever you have need of, amen. If you have someone, maybe a loved one, who's fallen in Satan's snare, or maybe you've fallen in Satan's snare. It says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. If you have a wayward loved one, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And thy house. Amen? So you hold on. While there is breath, Brother Branham said, there is hope. You hold on. Believe. Hold on. If you have a financial need or need of food for the table, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're alone and afraid, Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said he'd always be with us. He said he'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. If the musicians could come, I'm going to close here. God is faithful. He's faithful to his word always, always, always. Whatever promise you're claiming tonight, remember, hold on. We go by faith and not by sight. I'd like to close with this one quote here, if I may. And this is El Shaddai, talking about the great-breasted one. How the Lord even identifies with the mother. Think about that. Great-breasted one. Draw your strength, draw your nourishment from the Lord. Draw from him until you're walking, until the cancer is gone. Refuse to see the cancer. Refuse to see anything that's contrary to his word. It's not so. Everything like Jonah, they're lying vanities. I won't even see them. I won't recognize them. No, sir. I see what God says. Don't see the Amorites. Don't see the graveyard. Don't see these things. Hold on. Hold on. Amen. In Jesus' name. We'll press on. I don't know. In Jesus' name we press on. Do we have that? We'll start with the chorus.
In Jesus' name.
put up the verses?
When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble fall, when the choices
before we close tonight in a word of prayer. Does anybody have anything that need prayer about? Or does anybody have anything they want to testify to? Brother David. Oh, Brother David's cleft palate took 3 surgeries, so you know what he's talking about then. Yeah, God, amen. I would like to testify, amen. I've got this sore, this lesion on the side of my tongue. that's been there since January. And I just want to say it's a lying vanity. It's nothing for God at all. I'm going to get it checked out just to find out exactly what it is, just so I know what devil it is that we're fighting. But I stand tonight and I say, God is my healer. I said it to Brother Derek here, not this time, but last time we had foot washing. And I think, I don't know how many I've said it to, not very many. I'm not that concerned, but I know in obedience to God's word, we pray. And once we pray, we confess, I'm healed. Amen? Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whatever it looks like, it has nothing to do with it. God's word is true. Amen? So praise the Lord. Amen. We want to walk what we preach. Amen? Anyone else have a testimony or all they want to give for the glory of God? Praise God. You're all doing well. Amen. Love that. Praise God. Let's close with a word of prayer, if we would. Amen. Amen. Brother Peter, would you come and close with a word of prayer?
Sure, pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're just so blessed, Lord, to see your word, Lord, and see what you're doing, Lord, and the promises that you've given us, Lord. There's not a devil in hell that can stand, Lord, before you, before your word.
Amen, Lord.
And Lord, that's we right. Stand assuredly.
That's right, Lord.
On your word, Lord, no matter what comes our way, Lord, we know that, as Brother Greg mentioned, Lord, it's a lying vanity.
That's right.
And Lord, we're so grateful for that, Lord. And just
amen.
To
Lord.
Know you, to know your truth, Lord. And you've given us the vindicated word, Lord,
yes,
in this
amen.
Last day.
Amen.
Lord, to prove without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that it's you, Lord, and you equipped us, Lord, to stand and fight against the powers of darkness, Lord, and that would try to come against us.
Amen.
Lord, I just ask now, Lord, as we leave and go our separate ways, Father, that you would just continue to surround us, Lord, and that your word would, we would just meditate upon it, Lord, continually, Father, and you would just continue to pour into us, Lord,
amen.
More of yourself, more revelation,
yes, Lord.
More faith, Father.
Amen.
Thank you again, Lord, and just protect each one as we go, Lord, until we meet again, Father. Lift up needs of your people once again, Father, and that you would just meet each one, Lord. I just want to lift up, Lord, a lady at work, Father. Her name is Kim Hayes, Father. She asked me today for prayer. So, Lord, we just asked, Lord,
yes.
She got some health challenges, Lord.
Yes.
We just lift her up to you tonight, pray Lord, to and Lord. Just ask that you would just touch her body, Father. Lord, she has an appointment coming up. Lord, that they would not find anything, Father. So we commit her into your hands now. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, let's sing this chorus and let's be dismissed. Amen.